Hi, welcome to the Passion Podcast. It's me again coming to you. I just said me again. See, I didn't say who I was. I'm assuming that you know who I am. If you're new to the Passion Podcast, then you don't know who I am, but most people do, and you can ask one of our other listeners. And by the way, Jonathan's laughing at me. This is Louis Giglio coming to you from the Passion House in Alpharetta, Georgia. Welcome to the Passion Podcast. So glad to have you back. I was excited in Houston last Friday night. I was in Houston, Texas, out hanging out with Chris on the Hello Love Tour. And I met some of our podcast listeners, and I love it when that happens. A few folks grabbed me in the aisle. I was out talking to a friend of mine, and a couple folks come up, and so excited. He said, I just want you to know I'm one of the original podcast listeners. And I was like, I'm so excited. So I've kind of got you in my mind right now as we're doing the podcast. So sadly, I don't remember your name. I want to say you have an interesting name, and when you said it, I wanted to say that again, but it was intermission, it was loud, there were people around, but I really loved meeting you and the friends that you were with, and so here's a little shout-out to Houston, Texas podcast listener as we start off today, but it's good to be back with you guys. We've had about 2 weeks off since we were with you last on the podcast, and it's been pretty full-on around here. We've launched a church. We've launched Passion 2010 registration. We've passed the halfway point on 1millioncan.com towards our goal, which is phenomenal. And we've seen some pretty cool things happen around here. And so I just wanted to catch you up. Today's going to be one of those little short podcasts. So if you've carefully downloaded it and planned your 40-minute listening experience, it's only going to be a few minutes that we're going to be together. But I'll be back with you next week, hopefully, or maybe in a few days from now. I'm headed out to California for a little bit, and we'll be back in about 2 more weeks. So we'll have a full podcast with more information coming down the road. But I just wanted to say thanks to all you guys who've been praying for us, encouraged us, people who came and showed up for the launch of Passion City Church last Sunday night. And it was a phenomenal time. And as I mentioned to the folks who were there, and I mentioned to you earlier, I'm not Twittering and blogging and flickering and podcasting and everything else you can do about the church, because we're just learning and trying to walk in faith and obedience to what God's saying to us. And we're not posting the messages anywhere right now because we're just trying to be this organic church. I know that's hard given that we're very visible and a lot of people want to know and want to be a part of what's going on, but we're trying to plant a church in the city of Atlanta that will touch this city and touch the nations. And so we're just trying to be that. And it was an incredible night. There's no way in a podcast, I don't think, or two or three podcasts, I could really tell the story that night. But the thing that really blew me away the most when I thought about it, when I went home Sunday night, and as I've been talking to our team about it, I think the thing I loved the most was, one, that we were downtown. And I've already talked a lot about being in the tabernacle and how cool that was, but I just like being downtown. I grew up downtown. I mean, I never lived downtown, but I went to church downtown all my life, just a few blocks from where we were. I was born downtown. I went to college downtown, a few blocks the other way from where we were. I used to work across the street from where we were while I was in college downtown at Phillips Arena's predecessor called the Omni. And when I lived out in the suburbs of Smyrna, I used to take a bus to school every day. And that bus would take me down Marietta Boulevard and drop me off. And I didn't quite figure out exactly where, but on one of the blocks adjacent to the tabernacle, that bus would let me out every morning. And then I'd walk the 10 blocks down to Georgia State. And it was the greatest time of my life. I know that sounds sad now that you should never look back in the past and say that was my greatest time of my life with my walk with God, but probably the most amped up time of my life in my walk with Christ was when I was about a sophomore or junior in college. I'd been called into ministry. I'd finally figured out what kind of an idiot I was being and had surrendered my life to Christ. And I would just spend that bus ride with Jesus on the way downtown. I'd talk to him every step of those 10 blocks going to Georgia State. Those were the greatest days of my life. And to be right back on that block at the tabernacle downtown. And the coolest thing was the circus is going on. Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus is going on at Phillips. And they're doing like a 11 o'clock, a 3 o'clock, and a 7 o'clock performance. And so Centennial Olympic Park area is gridlock, jammed, cars everywhere, every parking lot's full, there are people coming, people going, people changing out, and then we've got all these people showing up for church. And we didn't open the doors until like a half hour before we started, so the 4:45 gathering, I mean, there's a line. I wasn't out there fully, but I know it went all the way around the block because I was in the green room and I could see the line out the window, and that wasn't the side of the building that the door was on. So I know that people went out and down and around and up and back, and I could just see people coming by from the circus and traffic, people looking for parking spaces going, what is going on at the tabernacle? What are they doing in there? Who are all those people lined up around the building? And even heard later that the manager of one of the restaurants that's just across the street came out and started asking questions, what's going on? And one of our volunteers finally told him, well, we're having church in the tabernacle. And he goes, you are kidding me. He goes, I've been managing this restaurant for 4 years. Nobody's ever had a church service in there before. And our volunteers said, well, we're having church in there tonight. He said, that's what all these people are lined up for is church? And he said, yeah. He said, well, everybody in my restaurant's asking what's going on. So where does the line start? I'll start telling them. And I just think before we played the first song, played the first note, before anything happened in that building, we had already done really what we came to do, which is amplify the fame of Jesus in the city of Atlanta. And people knew just driving by, wow, something is going on there. And that was incredible for me. The rest of it was incredible too, but just before we ever got in the building, it was pretty special. And seeing the folks that were there and feeling like we'd done it all our lives in one way, and then on the other hand, feeling more anxious, nervous, excited than I've ever felt about anything we've ever done in our whole life. Never been more relieved when something was over than when those two gatherings were over on Sunday night. And it was just a phenomenal, incredible time. If you don't know, and I think I mentioned this earlier, but with Love Atlanta, Love the World, we are committed to putting worship into action. And I know that's not an original idea to Passion or to Passion City Church, but it is God's heartbeat. And so for Love Atlanta, we had found a single mom who's just finished a one-year Christian recovery program, has been through two marriages, had sort of crashed and burned in her life, was going down a really destructive path, had lost her two little kids, had lost custody of her kids, and came back to the Lord, has been through this recovery program, and God has really put her life back together, and she's now working two jobs, in fact, has taken in another young single girl who's in the same program, trying to put her life back together. And this young 27-year-old single working mom has been going to work in a borrowed car that wasn't very dependable or reliable. The heater had gone out on it a few weeks ago, and so we decided that God would be happy with Passion City Church if we bought her some reliable transportation and got her a van that was really cool and worked. So for $15,000, we told everybody before you come, be ready, we want to love Atlanta, and that means loving Carmen. And we were going to buy her a van. So we had it sitting out in front of the tabernacle, both services where the people came in, the van sitting right out front. And once they came in, we said, we got the van. We bought it this week. It's sitting out front. We hope we can pay for it. That's going to depend on your generosity tonight. And we wanted to translate Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians for the Rom and Chatika people of Southeast Asia through our partnership with One Verse and the Seed Company. And so $25,000, our first money for the church. And it was so cool because Carmen and her two kids and her mom and her roommate were all there in the second service. And just to be able to say to the people sitting there, I'm not going to introduce Carmen, but she's here. She's sitting in the room right now. And I'm so excited that she's going to be able to go home with her kids. And her kids are going to be able to know this came from the God that our mom has been talking to us about. That God knows us, knows our family, knows our names, knows who we are. And, you know, they're not members of our church. We don't have any members of our church. They're just people who God cares about, and we were able to help them in a phenomenal way. And the offering was incredible. And if you're listening, hopefully there's a blog posted at PassionCityChurch.com. By the time you hear this, we just got our blog up and running for the church. But the offering was incredible. We were able to buy the van. We were able to do the Seed Company translation. And we had almost enough left over to pay for about half of our expenses for the night. And that led us to kind of say in one of the summaries we wrote, others first, Passion City Church second. And I just think that's a great way to start a church of faith and generosity is to say, you know, it's not like we're going to pay all the bills first, and if we have anything left over, we'll take care of the needs of the poor. But let's take care of the needs of the poor because that's what God is into. And if we have anything left over, we can solve the video, the building, security, all the other things we had to do to make that night happen. And so we had just about enough to pay for half of it. That was Sunday night. Monday went by, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and that's the story we were telling. Others first, Passion City Church second, and we were championing that like we believed it, and we did. And Friday, we received in the mail a check from some people that were there on Sunday night that more than covered all of the expenses for Sunday night and then some. And it was one of those moments again, like with the world tour, where you just stand back and you're like, this is crazy. And it's God's way of breathing encouragement on us. And so it's a great night. We just unpacked our little core values, which they're not really our core values. It's just the cornerstones that we've been building around in terms of four phrases: a church for God, a church for people, a church for the city, and a church for the world. And I love the first phrase because it's often overlooked, I think, in the church philosophy, is that we start with our city in the world, or with people in the world. And church is for God, Ephesians 3:20, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. And so the church exists for God and for his glory, and that's what we really wanted to put on the table Sunday night. It was awesome, incredible. We're open. We're up and running. It happened. People came. God came. And people said, well, how was it? How was it? How was it? How was the first night? And I'm like, well, our major evaluator was God happy? And did God like it? And I don't know if he liked all of it, but I know he loved it when Carmen drove home in that van, and I know he loved it when 10 grand went to the seed company to help translate four books of the New Testament for two people groups who've never seen a Bible in their own language before. I know he was happy about that. Whether he liked my talk or was into the songs we sang or really dig the building or our opening video loops or anything else, I don't know, but I know he was thrilled about that. And I think he was happy that our heart was that we wanted to be a church that just led people to worship, and it was a beautiful thing. So I'll share more about that down the road, but thanks for your prayers, encouragement, and thanks for just giving us some space and being kind enough to give us space just to take these steps of faith. A lot of you planted churches, and you know that the last thing you really need is a watching world and a big audience and to have to explain everything you're doing from the very first minute that you do it. So thanks for just letting us be, and thanks to you guys who prayed for us and encouraged us. We are really, really grateful for it. The very next night, and what I really loved, is that we came right back to the Passion House Monday night. It's like us to cram as much as we can in a 24-hour period. And we did a live web launch for Passion 2010. So it's kind of two things in one 24-hour window: church for the city and the world, local community of faith, but we're not forsaking university students. And so we had 50 students in the house from Clemson. Don't let me forget any, Brad. Georgia Tech, Georgia, Kennesaw State, Auburn, and the University of Alabama. We thought we'd give equal time. And Georgia State University, my alma mater, that I almost forgot. So they came, filled up the back room back here. We plugged up, got online. Jonathan figured out how to get us on the web. And we did all this in 5 days. We just announced this on the Thursday before, really, and said we were going to see how many people we can get around computers in 5 days. And we had 46 states represented out of our great union. 30-some-odd foreign countries were logged in. One of our largest contingencies that we know about was from the Philippines, which is crazy. We had people, 1,700 groups. Now, that could have been one person made a group, or the group could have been 70 people watching it on a big screen somewhere. But 1,700 groups in the campuses, I was just looking down the list, and it was from NYU to the University of Southern California to every major school in Georgia. 300 campuses were linked in with us for the live launch. That was in 5 days. And it was incredible. We just prayed together. We opened registration. That lasted 7 minutes and 8 seconds for the first 1,000 people that registered for $99. In fact, I think it was going so fast we couldn't shut it off in time. So actually, a couple extra ones of you got in there for $99. Congratulations. But it was an incredible night. The coolest part of the night might have been what happened off camera and off air. Once we closed the podcast down, we just started praying over these students that were here and wanted just to speak into their lives and really build them up and encourage them. And we were just worshiping and praying together, which is really cool when there's no audience anymore. Nobody's friends texting you saying, I'm seeing you. Are you at the live launch? I think I see you right now on my computer. But it was just us in here with 50 students, the people that we love, the people that we come to work for every day in this building, and to be able to pray for them. But I just want to tell you, heads up, somewhere down the road, September-ish, back to school time, we're going to do a follow-up live launch. It won't be a launch because we're already launched, but it'll be a follow-up. And I figure if in 5 days we have 300 schools represented, if we give people a couple of months' notice for the next one, we ought to have a couple thousand schools logged in with us. And so it's going to be really awesome to see how that takes off and builds. But keep your eyes open for Passion 2010 webcast event coming up at Back to School. And then just one more thing that I touched on the opening And this is crazy. And this is a whole podcast today. So it's just updates. And I hope the updates encourage you because they're blowing us away. But we launched 1millioncan.com. I know you're sick of hearing about it. I'm not sick of talking about it yet, though. Probably won't be for a long, long time. But we launched it in Johannesburg, South Africa in August. I don't remember the exact date. It was around the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere along in there. And it was a soft launch because, you know, South Africa, we just didn't know how much traction we had in Joburg. But we just wanted to get it up and get it rolling. We mentioned it again in Cape Town a few nights later. And then we just kind of let it be for a little bit. But Chris has really picked up the ball on the Hello Love Tour. And every night in the tour, if you've been, he takes about 20 minutes in the middle of the night. And he just talks about what's possible with people if everybody does a little, that we can change a lot. And he highlights typically one of the causes from 1 Million Can, and then out in the lobby, people have a chance to give. And when Chris left out on tour, we were at about $332,000. And so I jokingly said to him, because he tells everybody in the middle of the night, he said, "I'm not getting paid to do this. We're not sponsored by 1 Million Can. I don't get a kickback of any kind. I just believe in this. We believe in it as a passion family." But I told him just kiddingly, I said, "All right, Tom, and I'm counting on you for about $250,000. So by the time the Hello Love Tour is over, we're going to need to be up $250,000 from where we were when we started." And I knew that was like a semi-unrealistic goal, but I just was halfway kidding. But as of last weekend, I'm looking online, and we've had some amazing things happen. Some people give $8, and that's incredible. If you're an $8 contributor, I just want you to hear that's what 1 Million Can is all about. But a student in the Northeast heard about it, and their family has means, and their kids have means, and a university-aged young person gave $80,000 to 1millioncan.com. And so you put the 8 next to the 80, and that's what makes it all work, because some people have 8 and some people have 80, and it's not a matter of whether you gave 8 or 80. It's like, what is God asking you to do? And all of a sudden, people started giving night after night. People started finding out about the website. People started coming online. And if you look on there now, we're up to about 500 and exactly, Jonathan's showing me, hey, we're high tech here, exactly written on the black of a piece of paper. We are at, this is crazy, $514,459 at 1millioncan.com. So we're halfway, as I wrote on the blog, halfway to amazing. And that's in the middle of the worst economy of our lifetime, biggest economic collapse the world has seen. Everything is gloom and doom. Everything is downhill. Everything is going to go, you know, under. And here's God in the middle of it all, using people all around the world to give over $500,000. So we're halfway to funding 7 global causes in the middle of the biggest recession slash even bordering on depression that our nation has ever seen. I just think it's God saying, "I'm impervious to financial downturns. I am not wringing my hands. I'm not reading the Wall Street Journal every day. I'm not watching CNBC. I don't need a forecast, and I don't need to know what the president is going to do to save the world. I am God, and I have everything that I need to do everything I want to do for all the time that I'm going to be God now and into forever." And I'm just so encouraged by that. I don't say that to minimize the pinch that a lot of people are feeling. It's very real, and some of you listening to this are in that place, and I'm not minimizing that at all. I'm just saying that God isn't in that place today. He is not feeling any pressure of any kind, financially or otherwise. He is God, and the fact that He's using you and me, because I love going online regularly and contributing to these causes and being a part of what's going on here. And I love being able to do that during the Hello Love Tour nights. I sit in there every night. Chris talks about it. I know what he's going to say every single night, and I sit in there because, one, I want to support him, and because I know what it's like to stand up there and talk, and you want people in there going, "I'm with you every step of the way, I'm with you." And I just love it. I get encouraged and inspired every single night that he talks about it. And so thank you guys for helping us. It's amazing news, and it just reinforces the fact that it is all about God and that God is able to be everything that He says He's going to be, and He will not disappoint anyone whose hope is firmly fixed on Him. So we're going to jump out of here. We didn't play any music, Jonathan. We didn't have any cool little Sacred Harp singing. Maybe we could do some Sacred Harp singing on our own, just as an out, you know, a little out section to the deal. We haven't given a shout out to Gladys. Nothing, just updates. But we weren't going to do a podcast today, actually. I tell you the real story, okay? I'll be honest with you on the Passion Podcast, all right? I tell you what, let's do. Let's play something from Hello Love, just as in honor of Chris out there on tour, maybe we'll play Love, because that's the song he talks about every night on tour with the Watoto Children's Choir from Kampala, Uganda. We're building homes, by the way, for former child soldiers in northern Uganda in a town called Gulu. And with the recent peace, a lot of these child soldiers are now being released by the rebel armies. They have no family to go back to, no village to go back to, no home to go back to, and they are messed up. Most of them are on drugs. They're brainwashed, and they are helpless, if you ask the opinion of the government of Uganda, and hopeless. And the folks of Watoto don't believe anybody's hopeless, and they believe God's going to restore these kids and give them hope and a future. And so they've gone to northern Uganda. They've gone to the town of Gulu. They're building a Watoto village in Gulu. And to build a house for 8 kids and a house mother costs $30,000. And those kids may be 12 years old, 13 years old, and they'll live in that house, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. And our goal through 1 Million Can is to build 5 houses. So that's 30,000 times 5 is $150,000. And I think we're somewhere up in the neighborhood of $70,000 or $80,000 right now. So we've already built 2+ houses for child soldiers in northern Uganda. See, that's what I'm talking about. The invisible children guys blew it all up. A bunch of college kids went to Uganda with video cameras, made a little documentary, blew the whole story up for America. And now we're coming back on the backside saying, now the war has stopped. The violence temporarily has come to an end, but where are these kids going to go? And so people all over America are chipping in their $8 and their $80,000 to say, I want to build a home for those former child soldiers, and I know that that's the worship God really wants. And so here's a little bit of Hello Love. These are mostly AIDS orphans from Kampala, Uganda, singing in their own language, which is Lugandan, with Chris Tomlin and his crew on the song Love.
When life is cold, there is a promise. You will never go.
So that's Hello Love from Chris Tomlin. And by the way, still tracking along with Christy. And I think I mentioned this on a podcast a little bit earlier, but ChristyKnuckles.com, you can download Lifelight Up for free there, which is really cool. Christian, cranking right along. Crowder is just about ready to make new music. And it is very Crowder-esque and going to be very cool. So there's a lot of stuff cranking around in Six Steps world. As well, Matt Redman's getting ready to record again, so it's going to be a big year for Six Steps. Excited about all that's going on. And I was going to just tell you how things really work around here. We weren't going to do a podcast today because we didn't have anything super new or cool or exciting, and we hadn't worked up any comedy. And we were in here recording a little soundbite for this commercial for Good Friday at Verizon. Went like this. Okay, here was my part. Hi, this is Louis Giglio with Passion Conferences. I'd like to invite you to join us for our Good Friday event for the City of Atlanta on April the 10th. Did that sound semi-radio, I hope? I'm kind of squeezing a little bit to get that out. Come experience a night of worship with Chris Tomlin, Israel Houghton and New Breed, Matt Redman, Christy Knuckles, and myself. Do you know how uncomfortable it is to do a radio spot and say, and myself? I mean, that is not very cool. But nonetheless, that's what it said, so that's what I read. And so we did this little radio spot, and Jonathan's going to piece it all together. And I thought, well, we're sitting here. We got everything running. Let's do a podcast. So that was just out of our hearts, directly to your heart. You know, hours and hours and hours go into our normal podcast. But this one was just me talking to you, just our little podcast family, 297 of us worldwide, just sharing a moment together. So hopefully we'll be back with something of great substance in a couple of weeks, but today was just an update for everyone. Now, if we don't come up with great substance, we're really in a hole because we told them we'd have great substance, so we got to come up with something for the next podcast. We'll have to think through that, but I just want to say thanks for being with us. If you don't know about Good Friday at Verizon and you're anywhere near Atlanta, I could do the whole radio spot for you, but I'll save you that misery. And you could just go to the website, goodfriday@verizon.com, and get all the scoop on April 10th. We're pretty fired up about it and are excited about what God's going to do that night. So thanks for being with us. Look forward to seeing you again soon on the Passion Podcast or somewhere else along the way.